Okay, friends, are we ready? A big welcome back to our brother Ben. I'm excited to have him back, and I'm excited about today. So please tell me that someone else other than Nancy and I read chapter 12 this week, please. All right, we're going to have some fun then. We're going to talk a little bit about it. So compassion, how do we have compassion when we're helping people in trouble? That's what we're talking about today. Pardon?
Mourn with those who mourn.
Mourn with those who mourn. Seven. Truth, thank you. Yeah, so I'm looking for like a couple of your top statements. Like what grabbed you here? I have a few. I trust you have a few too. Like when you read, what just like said, oh, that makes so much sense. Or I am so in disagreement with that. I have no idea what he said. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Yeah. 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 And how many times have I said the wrong thing that I meant well, but now when you look at it through this lens, it's like, oh, that's so hurtful. That's just so bad. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Who else?
I think another thing is copying one another's story. Such and such happened.
Yeah.
Talks about the bee sting. I find myself doing that. I get off on something that happened to me that was very similar to theirs, and then mine becomes the big thing.
Yeah. And we so quickly then want to like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Let me tell you about my experience. Let me tell you about
how. Before they're finished with their stories.
Yeah, we have it in our mind, don't we? That's so truthful. And is that listening well? No, when I'm doing that, I'm like, I'm not really even dialed in with what they're saying. I'm like, I'm already formulating, yeah, I agree with that. No, I don't agree with that. And this is what I'm going to say. And this is how I think. That's not really listening at all. I'm just thinking, it's self-focused. I'm just thinking about myself. Yeah. Has anyone been on the other side of that where someone's, you're really pouring your heart out, you're really hurting, and someone quickly went to, oh, yeah, I know, I had that same thing 5 years ago. Let me tell you about how it was for me. Has anyone been on the other side of that? Have you? And what's that like?
Very, very hard, because especially when you're trying to share your heart with someone who is supposed to, you would think would be there for you, and they're just in their world, and until you have to say, I have a problem.
Yeah, listen to me. Be quiet and listen to me. Yeah. And the closer the people are to us, friendships, loved ones, the more that hurts, doesn't it?
Well, it shuts it down, too.
It just shuts it down. It's like, well, they don't really care. Yeah. They don't really love me. So why am I even taking this risk? Because it's risky for people. When you have to put out that big heart vulnerability and hurt, I mean, that's a big step for people to say, okay, here it is. What are you going to do with it? And if the very first thing we receive is like, you're just going to talk about you now? I mean, yeah, then that tears at what we're trying to talk about in terms of discipleship. Then people start saying, well, why would I do that anymore? I mean, I did this with Joe, and Joe just slammed me. Doesn't help build the discipleship that we're talking about. Good, thank you. Anybody else? Maybe one more top statement.
Well, I do this all the time. I say, well, can you just call me? I mean it, just call me anytime, day or night. I'm there. You know, instead of saying, what can I do specifically to help you?
Yeah. Yeah, that was one that grabbed me too, is and then trying to at least come up with some concrete practical idea. Can I come over and start your car? I mean, whatever it is. I mean, something.
Laundry, if you're overwhelmed, your house is. Let me just go. I'm good at that. Yeah. I've never had anybody pick me up on that. I have offered.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real easy, isn't it, just to kind of back off and say, well, they don't want my help, so I'm just going to kind of back off and wait. And yeah, I have a wayward daughter that I struggle with that I often do that right now. And I'm like, Lord, show me how to lean into her. I don't know how to do this. I just get the stiff arm. So then it causes me to say, all right, I'll just wait. But And I flip-flop on this every day. So then the 50% of me says, yeah, that's loving. I'll just wait and pray. And then I read something like this, like, no, I really need to be proactive. And yeah, that's good. I think his very first statement really grabbed me. We move toward others. So how do we do that in love, in compassion? And then I really liked page 108, where it talked about the wrong beliefs. Anybody, did that grab anybody? You know, when we get into these troubles, that's why I'm so excited about this class, is it really gets at what I would call our practical theology. I mean, we can sit and listen to great sermons all day, but when we're hurting, our true theology comes out. It really does. I mean, it's the water bottle squeeze. Whatever's in there is going to come out, and the heart's going to reveal what I truly believe. Isn't that true? I mean, it's there. We would never verbalize those things. We would never say, yeah, I really believe that I don't need anybody's help. I can do this. I mean, we wouldn't say that in a church environment out loud, but when someone's hurting and they're choosing to not let anybody come alongside them, that's really, I'll call that practical theology. That's really what they're believing. I don't really need God, and I don't really need others. I can handle this myself. So what we're getting at here is heart level, true practical theology. That's really what we're talking about. What do people believe? Because they're going to act from that. Their core beliefs and convictions, they're going to act from that. And it really shows when people are hurting. So it really, for me, dials up the bar on our responsibility to do the one another's well. Boy, we've got to be knowing how to walk into and lean into someone's situation when they're really hurting, because we can really hurt somebody. We don't intend to do that, but boy, it's so easy to do. So I thought these wrong beliefs were really wise. And again, I'm going to call it theology. These are theology beliefs that people wrongly believe. Low-grade suffering is common. You just deal with it. Really bad suffering means you have done something really wrong and God is displeased. Isn't that a common belief that we go to? Oh, God's just punishing me. We all have hardships, but our good Father will give us the ability to bear it, which means it won't feel that bad. Total wrong belief, but true. True belief often. We all have hardships. Christians have them a little less than their pagan neighbors. We can praise our way through it. Anybody tried that? I mean, it's a good thought. It's good to try, but again, what do you really believe in? Am I praising this? Am I looking to myself and I'm just going to tell myself and, you know, the power within? Or am I looking to Jesus to give me that praise? Am I really praising him, or am I really just thinking this is a tool that I just need to say these things to get out of this? Think of those worse off than you and be thankful. Again, I'll bet we've all done that at times, the comparison game. Well, okay, well, they've got it worse, so okay, I'll be all right. But we don't really get to the heart level. So I'm really excited today because we're going to, you know, I'm a big one on making this really practical. I'm hoping people leave this time again saying, okay, I'm going to take something here and I'm going to put it into practice in my discipleship relationships. So that's what I'm hoping happens from this. And we've got some more really good role playing that's going to happen a little bit here. And it's in the context of a friendship. So Nancy's going to be the friend that's leaning into Deb, who's going to be Sarah. And she's going to role play coming to a friend just with depression, which is a very common struggle in our culture today. So how do you do that lovingly, compassionately, merciful, and not make some of the mistakes that we're learning about here? So we're gonna learn that. But I'd like to start with, of course, how God how God models it for us. And I'd like to go to Ezekiel 34. Go back to the Old Testament. And I did not bring my reading glasses, so I'm going to ask for somebody's help to read this. Specifically, verses 11 to 16. Someone have a nice voice that they would like to use? Ben would, thank you. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 16. And in context, the whole purpose of Ezekiel, the whole book, was basically God using a prophet to pronounce judgment, but also restoration. In this chapter specifically, he's talking to Judah, and he's, for the first 10 verses of 34, he's going off on the leaders. He is pronouncing judgment. These leaders have not shepherded well. So, I mean, he's like just pronouncing a lot of bad judgment on the leaders. But then it turns, and this is the part that I want to hang on, is the restoration component. So it's a beautiful illustration of the gospel, which is really what we need to be focusing on in all of our discipleship. The gospel can change hearts, and it's not just to be saved. The gospel shines, and God gets tremendous glory when he brings his truth through us to other people, and all of a sudden God changes a heart. And that's not just biblical counseling, that's discipleship. So it's in the context of, and interesting enough, Ezekiel's name means may God strengthen. So God's using this prophet to come strengthen the church and pronounce judgment and restoration, and it's really for God's sake. The thing that Ezekiel was pronouncing that God was most upset about is how God's name was being seen by the other nations. So that kind of highlights the importance of God's holiness in my mind, and how that fear of God in a healthy way really needs to be a part of what we're thinking. You know, what is the name of God? Is God getting glory for what I'm doing right now? And that's in everything, whether it's a conversation with a friend or whether that's in a worship service. That's throughout our lives. Yeah, so you're going to see here, it's going to take a pivot. And what I'd like to highlight as Ben reads this is from 11 to 16, watch what God does. When God starts showing up and starts talking about what he's going to do, I think that's a model for us as it applies to leaning in and talking with our friends that are hurting. It's really the same gospel truth. So if you would, Ben, please.
For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines, in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice.
So it really jumps out at me, strikes me loudly, is, you know, the Lord always makes the first move, just like our salvation. It was God who drew us into that. We didn't deserve anything. We came dead. And that's not only true for salvation, but that's true for helping our friends in pain and hurting. Like verse 10, which starts before the chunk of text that we just read, but it says, and this is God, I will rescue my sheep. So in a sense, even though we're not the rescuer of our friends, we can allow God to be the rescuer through us. So my thinking is how we, with God in us, can be this type of person to our hurting friends and leaning in and leaning in and rescuing them through God's power and grace. So it's always God making the first move. And, you know, this people here in the context, God's people have left both their true shepherd and have been hurt very badly by the leaders. But interesting enough, the sheep, the flock, are not looking. They're not looking for God. They're just kind of stuck. They're kind of just wandering around. And it's a beautiful illustration of the gospel that God's leaning in. God's making the move. God's leaning into these people with compassion and mercy and restoration. And it's the same gospel truth that we can allow happen in our relationships with our hurting friends. So verse 16 is really, I think, the centerpiece of this. You know, God's seeking. He's seeking the lost. So he's the one seeking. It's not the sheep, sadly, seeking the shepherd. It's God bringing back the strays. It's God binding up the injured. And it's his compassion and mercy that's leading the way. It's God intervening, and God's the shepherd. Of course, John 10 talks about the good shepherd being Jesus. Jesus is our good shepherd. That is our shepherd. So it's Jesus that takes the initiative and moves towards us. And when we move toward others in compassion, love, and mercy with the good news of the gospel, believing, truly believing that God's word is sufficient to handle all of life's problems through the truth of the word and the power of the Spirit, we can be a mighty tool that God can use and to lean into people's lives. Powerful. So I just wanted to ask one more question from the book here. I'd like to hear, I'll bet we've all experienced what I'm describing. I'm probably pretty confident that we've all experienced that. So what was that like when you were on the other side and you knew that you were pushing someone away and they just didn't leave you? I mean, they stuck with you, they leaned into you, they were compassionate, they took the fire, but that didn't deter them. So has anyone have a story of when you received compassion, even though you know that you didn't deserve it, and you actually tried to push someone away, and somebody just kind of modeled this gospel in love to you? Anybody have a story of that they're willing to share with us? Too personal? Oh. Wait, this is not going to say something bad about me, is it? Yeah. So good. Yeah, and then on the other side of that, you realize how much that person truly loves you. Because we've probably all been on the other side of the fence where, like I am right now with my wayward daughter, it's like, I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to lean into this. I just want to ignore it. You know, that doesn't help. So, yeah, God gets a lot of glory in that, because if she was in here right now, she would give us the story of like, oh, there was times I was so frustrated with Kara and I was about to give up, or I'm imagining she's saying that. And it's easy to, that's easy to do. And you wonder how far you should go with people. Because I think sometimes it is wise to back off too. And only God can give the wisdom of when to determine where that line is. But that's good. Anybody else have a story like that, that you've experienced compassion and people leaning into you and being patient and waiting and then delivering the gospel truth to you? And okay, then we are going to move on to a really exciting opportunity here. And so again, this is not a formal discipleship situation, counseling, intensive discipleship situation you're going to watch. This is a situation where Sarah, who's a 34-year-old married mother of three, comes to Nancy and talks about her depression. And she says that she's been feeling terribly sad for the last 6 months and has had a lot of trouble keeping up with life. So she came to Nancy seeking the opinion of her friend on what she should do. So this is real. I mean, we probably all can think of three or four people in our lives circle that this could be real for us, if not us at times. So Sarah has several friends who have received antidepressants from their family doctor. The medicines seem to help for a while, but they also experience some unpleasant side effects that she is concerned about. So she asks Nancy specifically, do you think I should see my doctor about taking an antidepressant? Has anyone been in those kind of conversations before? And I want to highlight, though, from a counseling perspective, medicine's not bad, medicine's not evil. So let me make that really clear up front so nobody walks out of here today saying, okay, I think this counseling movement things, they're just anti-drugs. I mean, they can be an idol, I have a personal conviction of. They can be a sin, but they're not a sin in themselves. It's something God's allowed and can be very useful at times. So please, let me highlight that. We're going to talk about depression, but this is not, medication's not evil. And there's a place for it. And so saying that, I'll have our friends come up here. I'll have you guys, I guess, just... I don't know how...
I see so many people.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Would one of you just mind holding that? Just, I think last time, I think we were able to hear it just by holding it. So. And what I'm asking, please, that you would think about, because we're going to talk about it, is if you're in this situation, think about how you would handle it, and maybe even think about, boy, I wonder why Nancy said that or did that. But the context and what they're trying to model for us is how Nancy's going to do this in compassion. She's not going to fall for the mistakes that we talked about a few minutes ago. But how does she do it? What are you seeing that Nancy's doing really well, expressing love and compassion? And how did she do it? And maybe how you would have done it different. So try to think about yourself in Nancy's chair as you hear her try to love on and disciple Sarah. How would you have done it differently? Maybe think about that a little bit so you can share with your group. Because the unique thing is, we know we're all made differently, we're all wired differently, we'll probably all would do this differently, but I think you're going to see some really key modeling of how to do it well. So we'll talk about that in a minute.
No pressure, huh?
No pressure.
Hi, Sarah. I'm so glad that you called me this week to meet for coffee. And I've just been praying for you this week, just kind of wondering what's going on. How are you doing? Tell me about your heart. How's your heart feeling?
I'm all right.
I mean, I'm okay.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry. I mean, that doesn't sound like you're doing okay. Was there anything you wanted to talk about? How are you feeling?
Well, I guess I'm just sad. I just have this sadness. I just can't quite figure out really why. You know, I just feel like life's just dragging. I'm just kind of dragging along. I don't really know.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that that's how you're feeling. How long have you been feeling like that?
Quite a while. I mean, it's starting to get to me.
Yeah.
You know.
I know you're in my Bible study, and you've come some, but you missed some too. Missed a few times. But how's your church attendance? How are you doing?
What? Yeah. The church? I try to get there.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I can.
Are you doing a devotional at home?
It's kind of hit and miss, really, to be honest with you. I don't feel like it's really helping me right now.
Yeah. How's your prayer life going?
I don't.
I'm hearing you.
Okay. How's your prayer life going?
Okay. Where's this supposed to be? Between us?
You can just hold it. I'm told. You don't have to say it to be out.
You can hear Nancy pretty good.
You can't hear me, so maybe I need to do that. Okay.
How's your prayer?
I'm depressed.
How's your prayer life going? Are you praying to God every day? Or
not really.
No?
Not really. No.
Oh.
I just don't feel like it's helping. I feel like he's hearing me.
I'm really sorry. Yeah. I just want to encourage you to try and make some time every day to get in the Word. You know, when I've really gone through some tough times, I always fall back on Psalm 27. Maybe you could try and just at least read Psalm 27 every day. And hear what God's saying through that psalm. It kind of talks about struggles and, yep, we want to be with Him. And I think that might help you some if you would just get in His Word and try and pour your heart out to Him. I mean, just tell Him what you're going through and how you're feeling and everything. How are things at home?
They're okay, I guess.
Yeah. How are things with your husband?
Okay. I mean,
do you feel like your relationship's pretty good right now?
Probably not.
No?
No.
Yeah. Is there, like, animosity or bad feelings between the two of you, or?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd say, you know, he does his thing and I do mine.
Yeah. Are you guys plugged into a life group at church?
No.
Oh, man, that is like such a great opportunity. I would just really encourage you guys to talk about that, think about that, because sign up is like in August and September. And, oh, my, I'm in a life group and just all the friends you get through that. It's just such an encouragement to have those people just all come alongside together, and you get together every week or 2 weeks, and you just really build some really, really close relationships there.
I just don't really feel like that, though. I mean, I don't know those people from Adam, so, you know, and I it's not in a good place right now, so why would I just don't feel like that? That's not gonna, you know, really help me.
Well, I'm
right
so
now.
Glad that you've reached out to me. I really am. I'm glad that you felt like you could trust me enough that you reached out to me today. That's really a rough spot.
I know you're a nurse, and I've had friends, you know, talking about taking antidepressants, and I was kind of wondering about what you thought about that. One's
said she took them, and you know, and it really helped. And another one said she took them, and they kind of had problems with it, so like side effects and things. So I, you know, that kind of made me a little bit leery of that. So what do you think about that? Well, I mean, it'd be nice if you could just take a pill. You know, that's...
Yeah, happy pill.
Yeah, just take a happy pill, but, you know, that's... seems unrealistic to me as well.
Yeah. Well, I would say that you really should see your doctor for sure for a checkup, because sometimes you can have underlying problems that you don't even know about that can be causing feelings of sadness and depression. One really common thing is your thyroid, and that can be checked just with a simple blood test, and that's pretty common. So I would really encourage you to go and see your doctor, and just for a good physical and some labs, and talk to him about antidepressants or her about antidepressants. I do know that they take a while to kick in, like maybe 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks to really get the full effect. So, you know, it's not a quick fix. It's not just like taking a happy pill and you're good that day. But yeah, I would really encourage you to talk to him maybe about side effects and what you could expect from it. But yeah, I think that would be a good idea. That's a really big decision to make, and I would pray about that. You know, you could always rely back on James 1:5 that talks about, you know, if you lack wisdom, you know, ask God for wisdom, and he will always help us in that area. You could always fall back on that and helping you to make the decision. But it's not right or wrong. I mean, you can, or you know, you can't. It's not, you know, sinful if you do or not. It's called what we call the doctrine of Christian liberty, where we're free to choose to do things as long as, you know, they fall within scripture and within God's word. So you have that choice. Does that answer that?
Yeah, that helps. I think that might be a place to start anyway.
Yeah. I'm curious too. I know you go to church and you come to my Bible study and everything, but can you share with me a little bit like how you came to Christ, like your salvation story, what happened?
Sure. I got saved first before Paul, and I was married about a year when I realized that getting married and looking for that knight in shining armor, that wasn't working out real well. About a year that, you know, realized my knight had some issues of his own. So
yeah, we all have chinks, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, chinks in the armor. But and I was afraid to stay alone at night, and I went, and my neighbor raised German Shepherds, and I went and got a dog, because my husband left me alone a lot in the country, and I was a, you know, city girl, so I went to get the dog, and when you know she was a Christian, and she knew me, we had met, and she had been praying for me, and then she asked me to church, so I started attending church, and sitting way in the back and kind of hiding back there and hearing the gospel, hearing about Jesus dying on the cross. Man, I was crying. I was thinking, man, these people are going to think I am nuts. And then one evening it just struck me, because I would always think in my mind, well, I wouldn't have done that to Jesus if I had been there. I just wouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. Those people are horrible. And then the lights clicked on. Yeah, it's you.
Yeah.
You were one of those people. You'd have been yelling and screaming, crucifying. You know, it was your sin that killed him. And you know, I got saved then. It was different. I was pretty broken, so it took a long time to change, you know, and come along. But you know, I feel like I'm stuck again. I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just.
But you can definitely see that you changed after
yeah.
that. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's real. I'm just struggling. I'm stuck. I'm struggling. There's just a blackness, and I just don't know what to do.
Yeah, and you can't pin it on any one thing.
No.
No.
No, not
so
really.
So you feel like you're kind of pushing God away a little bit right now?
I guess, or I feel like there's something blocking, something. He's not hearing me, or
no.
I don't know. I just feel like there's something between us, and I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Are things okay at home with the kids and everything else you feel like? Are your kids doing all right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, you might be, you know, did you know our church had a biblical counseling ministry? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Do you know what it's, do you know anything
no,
about it?
No, not really.
Okay, look, that might be something that you really want to think about. It's people that have actually been trained to counsel, and we believe that the Bible is completely sufficient for all your problems, no matter what they are, whether you're sad or depressed or going through grief or you have anger issues or marriage problems or problems with your kids or just problems with your past, with guilt and shame, whatever it is, we believe that the Bible is sufficient to speak to all those problems. And, you know, when you're kind of going through something, it's hard to just open up your Bible and know where to go, but that's what the counselor's there for. They help, you know, find the right passages, and you meet like every couple weeks and go over things, and they kind of point you in the right direction and ask a lot of questions, and you're assigned to advocates, and if you know somebody that you want to use, we encourage you to do that too. But the advocates come to all the meetings, and basically they're just kind of like your friends during the counseling session. They keep in contact with you every week and call you and see how you're doing and pray for you. And you might really be a good candidate for that. Sounds like you just are really going through a bad time. Do you think you'd be interested in something like that?
Yeah, I think I might.
Yeah. Well, to kind of get the ball rolling, maybe on something like that.
What does that involve?
Well, I could go to the church and I could get the papers for it, and then I'll give them to you, and you just fill out the information papers. It just kind of tells you, they're just asking you basic questions about your life and stuff to kind of let them know you before you actually start, and then they'll call you and set up a time to meet and pick a couple advocates to come alongside. I think you could really, really be encouraged by that.
So would you be willing to be involved with that? Because I don't know if I'd want to go, you know.
Yeah, I could be an advocate if you'd feel comfortable with that. I sure would. And everything that's said there is confidential. It's just those people.
You're sure about that?
And stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because that would concern me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, what can I specifically be praying for you for right now?
Well, I guess just that I'd be willing and, you know, open and stuff to share, because that's got me a little concerned.
Yeah. Well,
there's probably a lot of stuff that...
Well, yeah, I think it's always,
you know,
scary to try something new.
Yeah.
You know, and get out of your comfort zone.
And if I am uncomfortable and I want to quit, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, it's not like I'm hemmed into...
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
You're not. So, yeah. But I think once you get going, you know, after a few sessions, you'll be like, oh my goodness. It'll just be a revelation to you, I believe.
Okay.
I really do. I'll get that
paperwork
to you. And I'm so glad that you called me. I just hate to know that that's been on your heart and that that's how you're feeling. And so I'm just really glad about that. So I want you to go home. I want you to get in your Bible every day. Read Psalm 27.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that song, He Will Hold Me Fast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to find the lyrics to that, and I'll text that to you. And you and if you have an iPhone or some way you can download that song, get that and listen to that. Man, that just really helps you know that God's really there and present with you. Because He really is. He's there to really get through, help you get through your struggles. And we all go through stuff. We just need a little help to get out of that pit, you know? And I feel like that's kind of where you're at.
Yeah.
Makes me sad to see you there.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Should we pray now?
Sure.
Okay. Well, in that.
You pray, though. I'm not.
Okay. Now I want to do a what not to say. No, I want to do a what not to say.
You do?
You're ready. Only when you're ready. If you want to okay. sit down for a while.
You want to model what not to do?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Hi, Sarah. How are you doing? I'm glad you called to meet for coffee.
Thanks. I'm okay.
Yeah? What's going on? You don't sound your normal chirpy self.
I don't know if I ever chirped, but yeah. I don't know. I'm just down. I'm just not.
Really? Down? Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. You know, I know this gal. Her name is Sue from church. Can you believe it? Of all places, of church. And her husband met a secretary, and he's run off with her. And she just found out her daughter's been hiding. She's pregnant for 4 months. Can you believe that?
No.
I mean, talk about feeling down. That would be like, oh, man, just sit in a corner and throw a blanket over your head. That would be down. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize it's getting this late. I gotta go meet a friend for lunch, and I have to be there first to get the table. But hey, you know what? It's good talking to you. I'll see you.
That was helpful. Not.
Hey, how about that? Don't do that. I'm such a big fan of the role play things because I've found, and Deb, I'll bet you found, even faking it, you really get the experience what that's like, both good and bad. Was that true for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say as a friend sitting in this seat, what are a few things she did that really just showed compassion and helped? What was helpful to you?
She really did care. She was open. She had picked out some scripture verses, already kind of given me just not a ton of things, but just to go over every day. Sit down every day and grab a hold of that. I mean, a person that's in that situation, that's probably all they're going to be able to do.
Yeah. Gave you just...
Didn't overwhelm me.
Didn't slam the Bible on you, but gave you... encouraging direction to go to the Word, and then a specific verse to really go to and think about and meditate on that. Yeah.
And the pill thing was good. I mean, she was a nurse, so I was thinking, you know, she would, and the Sarah would have thought that too, you know, just get another person's opinion. You know, it's appealing to think that you can take a pill and solve your problems, but not very realistic. And there may be underlying things going on as well, too.
Yeah. Because sometimes, and Nancy did this well also, I thought, clarified that there could be physical things going on where medication would be a really good thing to address that. It could be physical. And we don't want to play doctor. That's an easy trap to fall to across the line. All of a sudden, we're like making recommendations and things that we have no place to be doing.
And
so.
Go to your doctor and get a pill for that.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, wait a minute, don't do that.
Yeah.
You can't encourage them in that way.
Yeah, our culture is quick to do that. Yep.
And I even got some. You wanted, I've got some extra. No.
That's bad. What else? What else, friends? What else did you see modeled that was really helpful?
I thought it was really nice that Nancy just kept questioning in different ways and didn't show any emotion about being discouraged at the one-word answers or the really long demeanor. And I thought she did a really nice job of just being neutral.
No, kept it going.
She didn't give up, and it seemed like a really hard situation where she wasn't getting anything. I don't know. I'm good. I mean, there was nothing to go off of. But, yeah, she kept coming around a different door with different types of questions, but still trying to kind of learn what's really going on. Is it her kids? Is it her husband? Is it her family? I mean, what's the reality of her situation?
I liked one of the first things she said is, how's your heart? Because that's the focus, you know.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell them that's our focus on biblical counseling, but
yeah.
How is your heart? And that, I think that kind of wakes somebody up to say, heart.
You think differently, don't you, when somebody asks you that question?
And it's so kind. She said it was just so kind.
Yeah. How's your heart? How's your heart? What's going on in your heart? Because that right there is the bullseye of what we're talking about. If we can't get to a heart level, it actually could be very... again, hurtful with any advice that we're trying to give. Proverbs tells us that it's foolish. We're a fool if we start giving advice without really an understanding. But that's an easy trap to fall for that we all probably do. Oh, I've got the quick answer for you. Oh, you're that? Oh, here, I've got, here it is. And we never get to the heart level, so we just blow right by the real problems. Yeah. Paul, you had something, didn't you?
It was interesting because the person who had the challenge reached out to her, yet the relationship was very surface level. They were really friends.
Hmm.
It was just somebody that she knew from Bible study.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
So let's reframe that, because that I think that probably is unique, where she came asking for help, and we're talking about how to lean in with compassion.
Correct.
So let's say, for example, that Nancy saw this in her friend, but needed to approach her. How would you guys do that?
Yeah, it's
a totally different game, totally different approach. How do you do that in love and compassion? How would you do that? Let's say that you knew Deb, we knew Deb in church here, and we just all know that she's depressed, and we need to lean into that. She seemingly doesn't want us to lean into that, but how do we do that? Thoughts?
Well, just even letting her know that, hey, I'm sensing that you're having a hard time right now. I've noticed that, you know, maybe you're going through something rough. Like, just letting her know, like, she's seen, and that you, that she's noticed,
mm-hmm.
that you're noticing something seems different, and that you have compassion for that, and just that she's known and seen.
Yeah, she's seen and known, and it's acknowledged. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, I can't really hide this. I mean, other people are seeing this. I may have to deal with this. But yeah, just letting her know that you see a difference.
Yep. You might not be able to do that right away. The first thing, maybe just develop a relationship. Try to draw her into it.
Yeah, just create a friendship. Not necessarily even deal with the depression issue, but
yep.
Just...
breakfast on me.
That's one of my greatest personal fears, honestly. When I read Job, I see some of those friends and I'm like, oh, I remember when I did that and that and that, and it's so hurtful. And the best friends were the ones in the beginning, they just hung out and they hurt with him and just hung out with him. But isn't that hard to do in reality?
Throughout it all, we need to be able to give the hope that Christ has the answer. Like Nancy even shared, Scripture is all sufficient in all situations. And then she presented the concept of biblical counseling. So it was always that there's a hope. There's another method, another means that gives hopefully an incentive for the one that you're counseling to pursue onward.
Hope is so critical. if how do we bring hope? And she brought hope. I thought that was a great modeling of what life groups can be. So think about that. You're in a life group and you're a little bit closer with that person and you're seeing it. Wow, this friend's depressed, she's down. There's another way within the church context to help. And she described the more formal, intensive discipleship through the biblical counseling really well. Lovingly offering, explain a little bit, and then, hey, I'm going to do it with you. I think that's one of the biggest key things, is I'm going to go with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not just handing you off. I love you so much that I'm going to go into the deep end of the pool with you, and we're going to do this together. Nothing I hear or say is going to make me back off from this friendship. You can say whatever you want, and whatever sins come out, but I'm not walking away from that. I think that's really important.
We talk about confronting or admonishing someone. A lot of times that's hard for the other person to hear in our pride. If you come out and say, hey, you got a big problem with gossiping, you got to work on that, that's going to shut them down. So kind of like Nancy did in encouragement, you can also admonish someone through your questions that you ask. You can ask them a lot of questions so that maybe they see it. You can look at scripture together so that they come to the realization. So it was almost their idea and you never had to say the actual words in the first place. So you can challenge people with questions as well without just coming out and saying, you know, you got a problem here.
Questions are powerful. Jesus was the master of that. But of course, he knew right to send the dart right to the needed area of the heart that surgically needed to be dealt with. But yeah, I like the question, and I think that's what you're alluding to, Ben. I like the question she said, well, you know, do you think you're pushing God away? It wasn't, hey, you're pushing God away. It was just having her think. And I saw that the wheels go, well, maybe I am. I think I am. And but just getting the person to reorient and look vertically instead of just themselves or horizontally, just the questions. So, you know, how's your relationship with God going? You know, or what do you think God's doing in this? Or, you know, what have you been hearing from God in the Word? I mean, those kind of questions all of a sudden cause someone to say, well, probably, I don't know. I haven't been in the Word in 6 months. And I mean, but like you're illustrating, that wasn't like, hey, it was like, help me understand. Much different response typically.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta hit them over the head. You've been there too. I don't know how to ask this thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that 0.1% times that.
Well, yeah. That's where the relationship part comes in. If your relationship is surface, that's not going to go well most of the cases.
Yeah.
But as if you're really tight with somebody and you consider them a brother in Christ, not just in that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but as in someone you're walking with even daily or weekly, or more involved in their lives, that tactic may work to get them off of something they're suddenly holding on to.
Yeah. Yeah, the people that see my life the closest, if they don't speak that, I'm like, you know, I'm wanting them to do that. Speak truth to me. I want to hear it. Help me see my blind spots. And if they don't, if they withhold that, that's really unloving. But yeah, it's the close relationships that can do that without
it.
So if you guys would come up here, please, we'd That's good. Okay, well, how about, Jen?
Well, kind of on that, and like how you had said before, how staring to Nancy, it kind of makes it seem like it's obvious that there was something about how Nancy treated her before that she was comfortable coming to her. So while she showed that she was caring during this little talk and, you know, talk about how it hurt her heart as well, there must have been something at the Bible study where Nancy conveyed how caring she was towards her already. So it was like that relationship before they even sat down, she had probably unknowingly cultivated a trust in Sarah that, you know, she could come to her. So she knew, hey, this is somebody, other than being just a nurse, like, this is somebody I can talk to and be open to. So it's like that even in situations where you're not sitting one-on-one with somebody yet, always being caring and open so that somebody does feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the homework, by the way, too. That was good.
Yeah.
Adding the hymn, I think that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. So anybody listen to this and processing like, you know what, I would have done it a little differently. I would have used a different approach. Or anything come to anybody's mind as you watched of maybe how you would have uniquely done it your way? Potentially the same results, so, but.
I don't know that it'd be my way, but I wondered if there were times where not enough time was given for an answer from Deb.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's, you wait for an answer for 3 seconds and you feel like that's a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go on talking and ask another question, maybe I can get a better response out of my second question. I tend to continue talking.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes we need to give them a chance to process what you just asked and let them think about their answer. Maybe they don't really know how they feel. And so I have to think about that a bit.
Yeah, we're trained to think that silence is a problem in relationships. Like if there's a gap in silence, well, I got to fill it. Or, well, this is getting strange, I got to get out of this, or maybe our conversation's ended. But I think you hit the key word from my perspective is process, because these type of heart questions really are not easy. And sometimes they've never been asked this type of question. How's your heart? What do you mean? You know, or what is my heart? Or, you know, some people may not even know what that means, or are you pushing God away? I got to think about that. Am I? What's that mean? You know, I mean, so I think silence can be really powerful in this context of this kind of intense conversation. There's nothing wrong with just silence and letting people sit there and think about it.
And sometimes people have a lot of stuff from their past that they've locked away. And that's coming out in this depression and stuff, you know. And that's where the counseling is going to have to take place. And that person doesn't necessarily know what.
Yeah.
What in the world? Why am I doing this?
Yeah. You mentioned the key word, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
And that's a good indicator, by the way, of when formal counseling maybe makes a lot of sense. When people just really have no idea, I know I'm stuck, but I don't know why. I mean, that's the role that biblical counseling plays in the church, that those people can come along, those small group, those life group people, and do it together as a care team.
Because you may need to be fed a little bit at that point and not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just trying to find this stuff on your own, depending on what your background is as well, you just may need that.
Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote counseling, discipleship.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you, and thank you again, Nancy and Deb, for doing that. That's not easy, and that was very helpful for us. So, yeah, I hope you're feeling better, Sarah. So, let me just close in prayer quick. Lord, thanks for this time. Thank you that your word is true, and your spirit is powerful, and that you want us to do this within your church. Lord, help us. Help us leave right now with a greater desire to do these kind of things, to do the one another's in compassion and love, yet also truth, Lord, and help us to know how to balance that. In Jesus' name, amen.